تلاي هوال واسيش سيحل تسقيت تواكل تشيثل أتلك إيش باوة تمل هي كل أتل قوة شمل. It is almost June. Today is the 29th of May. In New Chanelf, the months have many different names, usually depending on what people harvested during that month. May, the usual name for May is Pawatsumth, which means nesting moon. I understand that word's because the birds have come back. The birds that flew south have come back north because the weather's warming up. And May is called Qawashumth, Qawashumth, which means salmonberry moon because the salmonberries bloom. Veronica just pointed out that I misspoke. May is Pawatsumth. June is Qawashumth. That's nesting moon, salmonberry moon. I often do that. I think one thing and I say another, so please let me know when I do that. My friend John Rampinen, who's also named Nasatluk, some of you may know, he and his family are currently resettling their traditional territory in Sitra Bay, and he's done a lot of research on his language. One of the areas he's researched is months. And one of the interesting things he's found is that whereas the calendar we generally use today, in that calendar there are 12 months, and each month has a certain number, specified number of days, this is a European system that goes back to Pope Gregory. That's why we call it the Gregorian calendar. And the Gregorian calendar, it has become a standard all over the world, but many places still have their own local calendars. In New Chanelf territory, months typically began when a certain resource became available or when an important event happened. So birds building their nests, salmonberries ripening, these are the kinds of events that New Chanelf months would be defined by. And the month could be start on a different day in different years, depending on the weather and when that event happens. The topic for today will be phonemes. I'll be introducing this topic, then I'll give you some time to work on your homework, and then we'll discuss it some more. As I said, I have typically found that phonemes are usually the most difficult topic in introductory linguistics classes. That's why I'm devoting this entire 4-hour day to it. We'll be looking at handout 8. We're at the top of handout 8, phonemes. Let's go over some of the definitions at the beginning of this handout. We're now getting into the realm of phonology. Before this, we were talking mainly about phonetics. Linguists draw a pretty strong distinction between phonetics and phonology that is not usually apparent to the layperson. Phonetics has to do with how things actually sound. Phonetic sounds can be recorded by a machine, played back, and measured. Phonology has to do with what we perceive in our minds. What does the native speaker hear when they hear speech sounds in their native language? We find that there's a surprising amount of difference between the two. What is actually said, what can be recorded by a machine, and what people perceive are quite different. What people perceive is what we call phonology. A phoneme is a single sound, but it's a single sound as perceived by a human being, as opposed to a sound that can be recorded by a computer. So we often find that two or three different sounds can be distinguished by a computer, but a human ear hears them all as the same sound. That's what I was getting at earlier when I asked you, when you listen, hear the words ladder spelled L-A-T-T-E-R and ladder spelled L-A-D-D-E-R, do you hear them as the same word or as different words? Are they pronounced exactly the same or slightly differently? It's kind of a difficult question to answer because we write them differently, that's for sure, but they really sound quite similar in our accent. That is, we who live in North America. We'll be talking about something called allophones. This is a very difficult concept to grasp. It's a simple concept, but it is outside the realm of most people's daily experience. So it's going to take some time to grasp what this means, allophones. Just as an example, I think that I pronounce the words ladder with T's and ladder with D's the same. I pronounce them the same. But at some level, I recognize that ladder meaning second has T's in it, and ladder meaning something you climb has D's in it. So what we're dealing with here is a sound that it sounds different from a T, right? The R sound in ladder sounds different from T, which is the stereotypical T sound. Linguists say that these two sounds are allophones. That is, there are two different ways of pronouncing what native speakers perceive as the same thing. Native speakers hear tell, and they hear a T at the beginning. They hear ladder, and they hear a T, even though those are two different sounds. So the name for those, technical term for those two different sounds that are perceived as the same is allophones. And don't worry, we'll come back to this. We'll be talking about minimal pairs. Looks like you have a vestigial twin, Veronica. A quado, as it were. A minimal pair is two words that are almost exactly the same, except for one sound. So, for example, Paul, the name Paul, and ball are a minimal pair in English. Paul, in my pronunciation, Paul and ball are pronounced nearly identically. The only difference is the first sound. One starts with a P, one starts with a B. Now they're spelled differently, right? We spell the all in Paul, A-U-L, and we spell the all in ball, A-L-L. But in my pronunciation, they're pronounced exactly the same. Do you all agree that in your pronunciations, I assume that everyone here has a West Coast North American pronunciation. So does everyone agree that Paul and ball rhyme and the only difference is the first sound? Veronica mentioned the word Paul, P-A-L-L, which is like a darkness. And I think in all of our pronunciation, P-A-L-L, Paul, is pronounced exactly the same as P-A-U-L, Paul, right? But they mean different things. So phonologically speaking, they are not a minimal pair. They are homophonous. Homophonous means they sound exactly the same. P-A-L-L, Paul, P-A-U-L, Paul are homophonous. But P-A-L-L, Paul, and B-A-L-L, ball, are not homophonous. They are a minimal pair. Do you all agree? I'm going to skip the rest of the terms for now and go on to the rest of the handout. I want to compare a phonemic transcription with a phonetic transcription. So a few minutes ago, we looked at this sentence. Can someone read it in standard pronunciation for us? The sentence in example one. The poor tiny kitty cat meowed at the door. We have the same, very same sentence written in two different ways. One is a phonemic transcription. The first one, the phonemic transcription, represents just the sounds that we hear, that our brains think they hear. The second transcription is a phonetic transcription. It gives a little bit more detail. For example, it shows that the P in poor, the T in tiny, and the K in kitty are all aspirated. That's what that superscript H represents. Aspiration is a puff of breath. You might not have realized this before, but when you say poor, there's a very heavy puff of breath after the P. You can feel it if you put your hand in front of your lips. Try it. Poor, poor, poor. Now try tiny, tiny. It won't be as strong with tiny because the T comes from further inside the mouth, but there's still a puff of breath there. Tiny. Same with kitty. Kitty. The K has a puff of breath. You know how when people are talking on a microphone and you hear a whoomp? That's the puff of breath from a pea hitting the microphone. That's called pop. That's a frequent problem in AP systems. I mean PA systems, public address. AP is different. So I'd like you to look especially at the words in example one that have T's in them. That is, that we write with a T letter. The word the has a T in it in normal English spelling, but it's actually not a T, right? It's a completely different sound. The is an interdental sound. It's made with the tongue between the teeth. The reason we write it with a T in English is because the English alphabet doesn't have enough letters to represent all of its sounds. So some letters have to do double and triple duty. But tiny, I think most native speakers of English would agree that tiny, kitty, cat, and at all have T's in them, right? Tiny has a T. Kitty has a T. Cat has a T. At has a T. The interesting thing is that these different T's are pronounced in different ways. Take the T in tiny. Tiny. It is pronounced with heavy aspiration. There's a heavy puff of breath after the T. Tiny. Tiny, which you should be able to feel if you put your hand in front of your mouth when you say tiny. Tiny. Now consider the word kitty. We write kitty with a double T, but actually it's not pronounced t. It's not pronounced like the t in tiny. It's pronounced more like r, kitty, r, r. Can you hear how the T of tiny and the T of kitty are pronounced quite differently? It was just pointed out that the T in kitty is pronounced a lot like a D. But actually, it is very similar to a D, but it's not quite the same. A real D is quite strong. D. D. A real D has a moment of silence inside it. D. D. Whereas the T in kitty, 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 there's no moment of silence there. It's faster, right? Kitty. Linguists call that a flap. So the word door has a real D, door. But the word kitty has a flap. And if you look at your handout, you'll see that the flap is written with something that looks kind of like an R without its staff. In the phonemic transcription, kitty is written with a T because that's the sound we hear. In the phonetic transcription, it's written with a flap because that's what's actually pronounced. So we're getting a little closer to understanding the difference between phonemic transcription and phonetic transcription. Phonetics is what is actually said. Phonemics is what we think we hear. Now take a look at the words cat and at. When I pronounce them carefully, they have a real T, cat, at. But in usual normal conversation, I pronounce them more quickly. Cat becomes cat, and at becomes at. I pronounce them with a glottal stop instead of a T. Cat, cat. So, for example, tiny kitty cat. Tiny kitty cat. That's three words. We hear them all as having a T, but in fact, the T is pronounced differently in each word. So we often say that the Neuchonal alphabet is a phonetic alphabet, but the way linguists talk, it's actually a phonemic alphabet. The Neuchonal alphabet represents every different sound with one letter. But some sounds are pronounced in more than one way. But the writing system doesn't reflect that because it's not important. The writing system omits unnecessary detail. It only gives enough detail so that you know how to pronounce the word. That's very similar to the way that we write tiny and kitty and cat, all with the letter T in English, even though those sounds actually sound different from word to word. the only information you need to know how it's pronounced is the letter T, as long as you know how to pronounce English T. Yes, they do. You hear them differently, they mean different things. That shows that P, P and B contrast in English, right? There's a contrast there. In other words, P and B are different phonemes in English. Let's pronounce the other minimal pairs together, and you can tell me if you agree that they're minimal pairs in your accent. We've already seen an example today where two words that I pronounce the same are pronounced differently by at least one of you. The next pair is appy, abby, tome, dome, crime, grime, irk, erg. Do you all agree that these are minimal pairs? That is, both words are identical except for one sound. So we were just talking about the minimal pairs in example two. These minimal pairs show that P and B are different phonemes because pit and bit are heard as different words and they mean different things. Similarly, appy and abby show that P and B are different phonemes. Tome and dome show that T and D are different phonemes, and so on. Now compare the sounds in example three. So let's compare spit and spit. Pit and spit. Would you say that both pit and spit have a P sound? Pit, pit, pit. I think you'll find that pit has heavy aspiration. You can really feel that puff of breath. Pit, pit. Now say spit, spit, spit. There's much less breath with spit. That's because the P in spit is not aspirated. There's no puff of breath. Whereas in pit, it's strongly aspirated. This is a difference in how in our West Coast pronunciation of English, we pronounce P. If P comes at the beginning of a word, it gets aspirated as a heavy puff of breath, as in pit or pot or put put. But if P comes after an S, it's not aspirated. Spit, spot, spin, spun. These words do not have an aspirated P. Do you agree with me so far that the P in pit is pronounced a little differently from the P in spit? And yet, you also agreed with me that we don't hear them as different sounds. We hear them as the same sound, right? They both sound like P to us. So this is what linguists call allophones. We say that plain P, as in spit, and aspirated P, as in pit, are allophones of the same phoneme. That is, our English brains hear them as the same sound. That's what makes them the same phoneme. But the way they're actually pronounced is a little bit different. That's what makes them allophones. This is the key concept that we're learning today. The concept of phoneme, that is, what a native speaker perceives as a sound, and allophones, two sounds that are actually different, but are perceived the same by a native speaker. Now consider Tom's accent. I think most of us grew up speaking English as our first language, and for many of you, Neuchanelth is a second language. Tom's experience was the opposite. Neuchanelth was his first language. English was his second language. So Tom has a Neuchanelth accent when he speaks English. It's different from our accent, right? You guys have a regular English accent for the West Coast of Vancouver Island. I have a regular English accent for the West Coast of California and Washington. Tom has a bit of a Neuchanelth accent when he speaks English. And he does not hear a difference in his native language between t and d. That's why he heard Sutton and Sudden as the same word for many years, until his English got good enough that he realized those are actually different sounds. So what we're seeing is a difference between the sound system of English and the sound system of Nunchaknoth. Each language has a different set of sounds that it uses to build words, and native speakers are very good at telling those sounds apart from each other. But any two sounds that are not contrastive in the language, that are not important for distinguishing words, the native speaker is bad at hearing those. So native English speakers are bad at hearing Nunchaknoth contrasts, and native Nunchaknoth speakers are bad at hearing English contrasts. Of course, in our experience, we also know many people who are bilingual. That is, they speak Nunchaknoth and English equally well. And that's a little different from speaking a language as a second language. We left off talking about example three. This example has some minimal pairs that show that even though the P sound has at least two different allophones in English, native speakers hear them as the same sound. So pork and spork both have P sounds. They're pronounced differently. The P in pork is heavily aspirated. The P in spork is not aspirated, but native speakers hear them as the same sound. So we say that those are allophones of the phoneme P. Similarly, in the word top, there's a heavily aspirated T, and in stop, there's an unaspirated T. But native speakers of English hear them as the same sound. Therefore, they are allophones of the phoneme T. Something interesting that linguists have found is that it's harder to see this kind of pattern in your native language. That's because your native language is second nature to you. You speak it without thinking about it. It's actually easier to see these kinds of patterns in another language, a language that's not your own. So take a look at exercise 22. This has some examples from Sinchothan. Sinchothan is a Straits Salish language, which is the indigenous language of the Saanich Peninsula that is northeast of Victoria on Vancouver Island. The question here is has to do with the P sounds in Sinchothan. There's a plain P, pa, and a glottalized P, pa, pa. The question is, are they two phonemes or are they allophones of one phoneme? Do you think that native speakers hear pa and pa as the same sound, or do they hear them as different sounds? Here are some words of Sinchothan, and I'm going to pronounce these as well as I can. I am not a speaker of Sinchothan. The first word is shpakwas. Shpakwas. It means to drop off. Shpakwas. The word below that, shpakwan. Shpakwan. It means foam. In the second column, we have kput. Put, which means to gather. Below that we have hukaput, which means to patch something. So, looking at these data, we have just four words of Sinchothan here. Do you think that native speakers hear pa and pa as the same sound or as different sounds, and why? I'm going to record a summary of this discussion for the lecture. We were just talking about the Sinchothan data in example four, and I pointed out that we have these words as Dave Elliott wrote them in the Sinchothan alphabet that he created on the left, and we have them in IPA on the right. And it is probably significant that Dave Elliott wrote the P in Shpakwas with one letter, a capital P, and he wrote the P of Shpakwung, foam, with a different letter, a capital B. That suggests that he heard them differently. And if a native speaker hears two sounds as different, that suggests that they are different phonemes, not allophones, different phonemes. Let's talk about S and Z in English. Take a look at example five. Here we have some minimal pairs for S and Z. So the first one is sip, zip. Sip, zip. Do these mean the same thing or different things? The other minimal pairs are sap, zap, sue, zoo, racer, razor, fussy, fuzzy, looser, loser, Ross, Roz, cease, seize, Luis, and Louise. You might not recognize the spellings because these are an IPA, but I think you probably recognize all these words when I pronounce them out loud. And I think you'll agree that in each one of these pairs, the two words mean different things. This shows that the S sound and the Z sound contrast in English. Native speakers perceive them as different sounds. And we know this because the words in these minimal pairs mean different things. But here's a case where we find that S and Z are not as contrastive. Take a look at the words in example six. So the words in the top row have S, shops, cats, books, oafs, baths, lisp, ceased, and fixed. If I pronounce these with Z's, do you judge them to be good English words? So if I say shops with a Z instead of an S, I'll say shops, shops. If I say cats with a Z instead of an S, I'll say cats, cats. Books, oafs, baths, lisp, seized, fixed. Are those good English words or not? Now take a look at the second row. These words have Z: tubs, hoods, dogs, worms, bathes, spasm, seized, and exit. If I say these with S instead, we have tubs, hoods, dogs, worms, bathes, spasm, seized, and exit. Are those good English words or not? Really? You think exit is a good word? Do some of them sound okay? I think we're finding a slight difference between my accent and your accent. When I say tubs, hoods, dogs, worms, I hear a Z sound at the end. But it sounds to me like most of you hear an S sound at the end. What about spasm? Does spasm have a Z before the M or an S before the M? Yeah, okay. So I think maybe in tubs, hoods, dogs, our accents are a little different. You hear an S, I hear a Z. But in spasm, our accents are the same. We all hear a Z before the M. Spasm. It would be the wrong word to say spasm, right? Spasm. What we're looking at is complicated by the difference in our accents. But what we generally see here is that even though English speakers hear S and Z as different sounds, they can't all appear in the same positions. Basically, S occurs next to voiceless sounds. So S can occur next to F, K, P, T, because all of those sounds are voiceless. Whereas Z occurs next to M, D, EV, and so on, because those sounds are voiced. Now, something yet again is happening at the ends of words. At the ends of words, I hear a Z, you guys hear an S. But I don't think that contradicts the general pattern, which is that next to voice sounds, we generally pronounce a Z. Next to voiceless sounds, we generally pronounce an S. So linguists call this kind of pattern neutralization. Neutralization means that in some contexts, we hear two sounds as different. We hear S as one sound and Z as another. But in some contexts, we can only use one and not the other. That's an example with S and Z. Exercise 23 asks you to look at a similar pattern, but with T and D. So what the words in example 23 show is that the T sound in English, T, and the D sound, D, are also sometimes pronounced as a flap, R, R. The flap is kind of like a really fast D, a true D, 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 has a brief moment of silence in the middle, D, D. But a flap, R, has no moment of silence. It's faster and it's voiced throughout. Here are some examples. The word bet, I think you'll agree, ends in a T, bet. But when we add an ing to it, it's pronounced betting, betting. The word bed ends in a D, bed. But when we add an ing, it's pronounced betting, betting. Do you think you pronounce the word betting, meaning laying bets, and betting, meaning what you put on your bed, the same or differently? But you can make your own argument when you answer this question. I just suggested to you that if you speak slowly and carefully, you're all capable of pronouncing the difference between betting and bedding. But most of the time, we don't speak that carefully. We speak at fluent speed. And at fluent speed, I think these are pronounced identically. Betting, betting, in our accent. Now, a person who speaks standard British English, by contrast, even at fluent speed, would still pronounce these differently. A person speaking standard British English would pronounce these betting and bedding. They would be clearly different. Betting, bedding. That's an aspect of their accent. But our accent from the west coast of North America, we neutralize these sounds. Linguists would say that T and D are usually considered separate sounds in English, but in this context, they are neutralized. They are pronounced the same. There's a couple other examples here. Debt and dead are a minimal pair. Debt ends in a T, dead ends in a D. But when we add an er to the end, we get debtor and debtor. Now, the question you're going to answer in exercise 23 is, how many phonemes do T, D, and R represent? In square brackets there, you see the IPA symbols for T, D, and flap. T, D, and R. These are definitely three different sounds. We can record them. We can measure them with a machine. We can show that they're three different sounds. The question is, how many sounds does a fluent speaker hear? Do they hear one sound, two sounds, or three sounds? That's what you're going to answer in exercise 23. I suggest we take another short break. After the break, I'll give you about half an hour to work on homework 4, and then I'll invite your questions. I'll see you at 2:54.